But then this is going to be such a terrifying day that Allah now mentions a strange scene that is hard for you and me to relate to because we don't have this experience. But I'll share with you some things about it from the original Arabic, and then I'll share with you how this applies to us. Allah says, وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. When the pregnant camel, the she-camel obviously, when the pregnant camel that is pregnant for 10 months, and by the way, camels deliver between 10 and 12 months, so they could go any moment at that point. When that kind of a camel is going to be left to roam free, ta'attalat actually is the word for it that Allah uses, is used for women. When a woman is going through serious depression and decides to not take care of herself, and so they say, عطلت المرأة تعطل عطلا وعطولا أو تعطلت إذا لم يكن عليها حلي ولم تلبس الزينة وخلا جيدها من القلائد. If she puts no makeup on, she doesn't take care of her eyes, her skin is getting all, you know, crusty or whatever, she's got bags under her eyes, she doesn't put any jewelry on, and people look at her and go, what happened to you? Where, you know, you look like someone I know. Like, they say about that woman, she's experiencing utul. Now what that means is she's not taken care of. Like she stopped caring about herself, right? The reason this is important to understand, I'll read some Arabic to you and then I'll translate. Al-ishar jam'u ushra. وَهِيَ النَّاقَةُ الْحَامِلِ إِذَا بَلَغَتْ عَشْرَةَ أَشْهُرٍ لِحَمْلِهَا فَقَارَبَتْ أَنْ تَضَعَ حَمْلَهَا لِأَنَّ النُّوقَ تَحْمِلُ عَامًا كَامِلًا. وَالْعِشَارُ أَنْفَسُ مَكَاسِبِ الْعَرَبِ. This is the important part. A camel was already an important, expensive commodity back in the day, right? If you're going to be living in the desert, then your horse ain't going to get you from one village to another. It's going to die on the way, and so will you. You want something that's going to have a big gas tank. It's going to last one end to the other, and you have to. And you're going to go and do trade. You're going to buy a bunch of stuff and bring it back. Where are you going to load it on? You're going to need the camel. It's your truck back in the day. This is your business. This is your vessel. This is the ship of the sands, right? So it's a really expensive thing. And it's a lot of money to keep a camel, to feed a camel. The thing's got a big appetite, you know. Especially in a desert environment, water is in short supply, and it's going to drink a lot of water, right? So it's an expensive investment, but it pays off. Now what they do is, if they're lucky enough to have a female camel, and it's pregnant, you know what that means? They're about to double their investment. It's going to give birth, and now I have two instead of one. Cars don't do that, trucks don't do that, you know. So it's going to... it's actually going to, you know, double my investment, double my wealth. So when a camel was pregnant, they would go out of its way to feed it, not load anything on it, take care of it, keep it in the shade, because they want the baby to come out right. Not because they care, but because that's money in the belly. So they've got to really go out of their way to take care of this thing. So of all the animals that you saw in Arab society, the animal that got treated royally, like, don't mess with this one, and they'd rather sleep outside and let it sleep in the shade, is going to be the she-camel. What does Allah do? He says, وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. When that she-camel that is so valuable to the Arabs, it's about to give birth, is going to be left like nobody cares for it. You know what that means? People who spend a lot of time caring for such a camel are preoccupied with something else. So much so that their most important expensive investment is left completely unattended. How could that be? This is actually an incredible continuation from something that it kind of answers the question that was created in the previous surah. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Everybody on that, every individual will have something that preoccupies them on that day that will make them unconcerned about everything else. And now you see a ishar walking around, a pregnant camel walking around, left abandoned, uncared for. It's, you know, its fur is all scruffy, it's running around, it looks like it hasn't eaten. That when you look at it like that, that's a shocking scene for an Arab. If they saw a ishar left alone, they'd be like, who's crazy? Who left their Ferrari with the doors open like that? You know, for days and days in a rough neighborhood. Like, you wouldn't do that. That's crazy. Who did this? It's clearly someone who has bigger problems, right? So this is what إِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. Now this is the thing. The word ishar was so valuable to them. When Arabs valued something, they used the word for it in creative ways too, okay? So, and we do that of course in any society, even in the English language, right? So, you know, I'll say, you know, my laptop is the Ferrari of laptops or whatever. you know, or this, he's the Michael Jordan of this or that. When we see these, the zenith of something, then we make that comparison to other things. That's a normal thing you do in language. So they would actually make a reference to ishar, not just to refer to pregnant camels, but they would use it also, for example, musta'aratun lil ashiba al-muhmila bil-matar, shubihat bin-naqat al-ushra. When the Arabs saw clouds that are dark, what do dark clouds mean? It's about to what? Rain. They would call that the same word they call a pregnant camel. Now that's an important connection to understand. The Arabs don't get a lot of rain. They're in the desert. So when it's going to rain, it's like an incredible rare treasure, so valued. And so they are as excited about this exotic treasure as they are about the pregnant she-camel. In other words, Allah used a word that wasn't just a specific term for a specific animal. It was actually a cultural phenomenon for things that are expensive and valuable. And that's why وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ has universal value. Today, الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ would be, they left their mansion unattended, the gate is open, you know, the stove is running, the car's actually, the ignition's still on, and the key's inside, and the radio's on, and the door's open, but nobody's there. Wealth just left, you know. People are going to be, you know, they're at the bank opening their safety deposit box. The deposit box is open and nobody's there, and there's like gold coins falling out of it, and nobody cares. This is al-isharu uttilat. That's an impossible scene for us to imagine. You know, they do this sometimes in apocalyptic kinds of movies, right? They'll show you like when the world's civilizations come to an end, or zombies have taken over, or whatever, and they'll show like cash running or lying around, or gold, and nobody cares for it anymore because it has no value now, you know. And this is actually kind of the scene that's being depicted for Judgment Day. There's not going to be any value to the things you place so much value on. The question is, human beings run after these things their whole life. Under normal circumstances, if you saw people that have amazing wealth or amazing investments, you dream one day that you're going to do that. You know, like my background is full-time employment. Of all kinds. I've done all kinds of fun jobs. Like I've sold shoes and delivered newspapers and you name it, I've done it. Okay? So when you do those kinds of jobs, you know what your dream is? I'm going to save up enough and then I'm going to get a donut shop. Or I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to get a coffee. I'm going to start a business. Because what is to you a business? You know, a business isn't just I'm going to work there all day. Your picture of a business is when I have that business, I could chill. Everybody else is going to be doing the work like I am right now. And I'm going to be making that money. That's the vision of ishar. So when you see someone with an ishar, when you see someone with an investment that's compounding and growing and growing and growing, you're like, man, one day. You know, and then people take advantage of that from you too, right? Make $10 million in just the first year. I sold Tupperware for 1 week and I made $10,000. Really? Really? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. But people that are desperate will sign up and they're going to fall into all of that. But the point, I digress, I didn't want to talk to you about pyramid schemes, but what I do want to talk to you about is when you say إِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, it's actually referring to a past time where if there was anything you'd run after, it would be the ishar. And if there's one thing you'd never leave behind, it would be the ishar. You know, even in states of emergency, when a plane is like, you know, they're getting ready for the emergency exit or whatever, they say, leave your belongings behind, right? If somebody's carrying jewelry or loads of cash, guess what? They ain't leaving it behind. They're going to take that with them. You know, come hell or high water, what's the point of living without this? I'm going to take it with me. People might leave other things behind, but, you know, that Chanel bag is coming with me. That's $5,000. I'm not letting that go, you know? So now, from there, the mountains have moved, the most valuable assets have been left alone, so clearly people are running somewhere, they're going somewhere, and even if the mountains were moving, that's pretty crazy, and the sky's going crazy, but where are you going to run? Well, you're going to be running away from something. What are you going to be running away from? وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. It's a progression of images. Hey guys, you just watched a short clip from this surah. What I want you to do now is go through the entire surah with me. It's called the Deeper Look series, and you can catch it on bayinatv.com under the Deeper Look section. So get started.